Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for who you are, the living God. Lord, we've just, since we've come to know you and your spirit, we've come to love this book, treasure it. It's not just a book, it's life. It's light, it's healing, it's wisdom, it's peace. It brings your fullness, your very being into our hearts. And tonight we thank you, Lord, that you're here by your spirit to lead us into truth and minister to us. It's your anointing, Lord. And so, God, I ask again tonight, humbly, Lord, you anoint me. Lord, people are going to see you and they're going to hear your voice. It's your word that's going to be alive. They're going to hear, Lord, the voice inside the voice. They're going to hear your voice. So we thank you, Lord. We pray that you'd open our hearts to receive this. You're going to bring encouragement. I know, Lord, you've given me this word for this time, for this people, this hour. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy. Hey. Anyway. You ever hear that? No, probably not. Okay. That was really a song. I think the Four Tops sang that. Amen. This is chapter 8. I'm pulling your leg. You know, I really just so keenly aware God has this word for some people in this audience tonight. It's called Why the Wilderness? And God wants to encourage you. And in chapter 8, he says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." First thing is, God has you in the wilderness because there's lessons that you're going to learn there you can't learn anywhere else. No way. And he wants you to remember them. And those of you who have been in a wilderness experience in the past, God didn't say, "Well, I'm glad that's over." Yeah, we are, but I want you to remember it. It'll give a gratitude in your heart for what's going on now. You won't be proud. You won't be cocky. You won't be arrogant to miss the will of God or that we remember. Not to lament it and, you know, whine, and that's not what I'm talking about. We remember. Sometimes, you know, we go through things and then we forget all about it and we get in the same mess again. You know, I mean, you know, I'm not real excited about going back through the wilderness again. How about you? But God wants us to remember. There's things that only you can learn there. That's the only place you're going to learn. You know, it says in 1 Peter, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations." If need be, is a season. I want to say that. It's just a season. Can you say praise God for that? It's a season. They passed through the wilderness. Of course, it took them 40 years, but they just passed through. And you know, nobody's been in the wilderness in here for 40 years. But remember that. Say, "I'm just passing through." Say it with me. "I'm just passing through." If you're having some kind of a wilderness experience now, "I'm just passing through." Maybe you know you've been there and you've passed through it. But I want you to just remember the lessons you learned there. Here's the next thing in this verse 2. It says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee." God wants you to know and remember, he leads you through. You're not there by yourself. It's not the devil who puts you there. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, to be tested for 40 days. That God designs wilderness experiences for you. It actually is His loving grace and kindness in your life. That the Lord allows us to go through, and He leads us step by step by step by step. He's there with you every moment, even though you feel like God's deserted you. God has not deserted you. If God wasn't with you, you'd perish in the wilderness. He's leading you through. Say, God, you're just leading me through. Step by step, you're leading me through. Why the wilderness? And it tells us in verse 2 as well, to humble you. You know, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And often when we go through wilderness experience, because God's trying to get us to put complete dependence on Him. That's what humility is, you know. Humility is complete dependence on God, not on myself or on other people. We humble ourselves. We become weak. Lord, I can't do it. I admit it. I need you, Lord. That's humility. We try to make, you can make some great big theological whatever of what humility is all about, but humility is just recognizing we have a need of God. It's putting dependence on Him. I know I need you. That's humility. God, I need you. Do we humble ourselves? We're not proud. We're going to do it ourselves. We want everybody to think we're so great. And you know, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17, talking about Saul, when Saul became king, and that as he lost that position, it said, you know, Saul, the kingdom was given to you. You were made king when you were little in your own eyes. When we're small in our own eyes, then that's when God sees us as big. When we get big in our own eyes, that's when God sees us as small. Pride cometh before the fall. We know that. It's true. To humble us. I mean, you know, be honest. We are so proud. And so many areas of our life. We're proud about our accomplishments. We're proud about, you know, our positions and our gifts. We're proud about everything. Can we do anything? We get something, you know. I got this. I did this. I meant them. You're proud because you met somebody? Big deal. How does that make you better? I met him. I touched him. I got to tell you about it. I touched him. I met him. I met him. I'll tell you how God sees him. He's somebody just born in sin that needs a Savior that Jesus Christ died for. He doesn't see him as some elevated superstar. If we could just touch him. I tell you, the person we need to touch, his name is Jesus. So, you know, God takes us into situations in the wilderness. Let me tell you that spiritual reality is not found in revival. Spiritual reality is found in the wilderness. Want me to tell you that the immature, they're going to drop in the wilderness. The immature are going to drop in the wilderness. It's the mature that make it through. Well, immature will shout in the revival, you know, but that is not spirituality, shouting in a revival. Spirituality is, oh, we're going to make it through the wilderness and praise God. And that's where the reality becomes. That's where we get to know God, and that's where we see who's strong and who's not. See, God sees it all different. Thank God for revival, but, you know, that's not the key to spirituality. So the Lord wants us to walk in humility. In humility. Let me read a couple scriptures to you. You know, it says in Psalms 137, verse 6, it says, though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knows far off. Let me read to you, this is the 19th Psalm in verse 12. See, God humbles us so that he can deal with us. It says, who can understand his errors? David says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. See, pride so blinds us. It's so easy for us to see all the faults that are in other people. We don't see ourselves. Till we get in the wilderness. Oh God, what's happening? Oh God, what are you trying to tell me? Oh, why are you trying to tell me? You know, and sometimes we still don't get it. And so he says, you know, you're not ready yet, are you? You're going to just stay out there a while longer till you get this thing. Do we humble ourselves? Start seeing, you know, we've got shortcomings in our lives. It's so easy for us to point out everything in everybody else. In Psalm 51, listen what David says. He says, for you don't desire sacrifices, else, you know, I'd give that, David said. You don't delight in burnt offerings. He says, you know, sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. God, that's what you love. You never despise that. It's in our times of trouble, it's that we humble ourselves, that God wants to see us, you know, with a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. I'm not talking about breaking the spirit of a man. I'm talking about breaking that proud spirit in a man. And you talk about a story, just look what happened to Nebuchadnezzar and how God broke that proud spirit. And then after it broke him, you know, then he restored to him and gave him even more grandeur than he had before when he learned that God was God and everything came from God's hand. So God's not, you know, taking us through the wilderness to destroy us. He's trying to do something special in our lives. It says in verse 2, why the wilderness? Said, to prove you. What does that mean? It means to test you. Put you under pressure. Test you. Prove you. It's a test. It's not so you fail. It's to prepare you for an advancement. We said before, why do you take a test? You pass the test, what happens? You get advanced. So God sends us through the wilderness to prove us. Go through a test. You know, I know that you may be in a different kind of test, but I couldn't help but think to relate to people that are going through financial problems in the church. Because, you know, we've made a real commitment to do something great for God. And what do you think the devil's going to do? He's going to try to hassle you, and he's going to try to come down on your finances and make you look like everything's going down the tubes. And you know, God says, you know, I'm going to let this happen. I'm going to let people put their trust in me and take them through a little wilderness. And then that's what I'm going to do to bring blessing into their life. As they really learn to trust me in the wilderness. And I'm going to do something great. I'm going to turn it all around for my glory. We just humble ourselves and realize, you know, hey, you know, this is your deal, God. It's not ours. We're going to learn what we can as we go through this. And you're preparing us to do something to elevate us, to put more into our hand. But you've got us in the test. We're going to put our trust in you, nowhere else. You're preparing us. So the Lord doesn't prepare us that we can handle more finances, you know, in the middle of revival when we got everything. I mean, you know, when do we surrender? God. Oh, God. Oh, I give up. Whatever, God. Whatever you want, man. I don't know why. I mean, I give it all to you. I give it all to you. Isn't that true with every life? That's when we get saved. You know, we, oh, God. Well, that's what he does with our finances, too. He said, when are you ready to put this thing in my hands? I might as well put it in your hands. I got nothing. Look, here in verse 2, why the wilderness? Is it to know what was in thine heart and whether you'd keep his commandments or not. God, so that he would know. You know, don't you think the Lord already knows what's in your heart? So why do you think then the wilderness? So you know what's in your heart. And find out if we're going to keep God's word or not when it's really, when the pressure's on. Here again, David said in a couple psalms, he said in Psalm 126 and verse 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. You know, take me through the test. Try my reins in my heart. Just pull on my reins, Lord. Pull on my heart. See if I won't respond. Just see, O God. See what's in my heart. And then again in the psalms, he says in 139 verse 23, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Show me, God. Just pull. Let me see. Just put me to the test. Prove me, Lord. Just see what's in my heart, if there's any wickedness in me. Try me, Lord. Just search me, God. Search my heart and lead me in the way of life everlasting. And so why the wilderness? That's when these things begin to happen. That's when we get real with God. And that's when, you know, he wants to see if we're going to obey God's word or not. Look in verse 3. Here's the next thing. Why? Why the wilderness? And he humbled thee and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live by. Why the wilderness? He's not talking about bread manna here, you know, the kind that fell on the ground. He's talking about the word manna. So, you know, why? Why go through the wilderness? I'll tell you why. To make you hungry for the word. Isn't it amazing how we can be really lax and never read the word when everything is great and you're on the mountain? And man, when you're in the trial in the wilderness, oh God, oh Lord, show me God, give me wisdom, show me God, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh God, I'm turning to the Psalms, man, oh Lord Jesus, turning off TV, hallelujah, putting my cell phone out of commission, oh God, show me God, God. Oh God, oh Lord. Isn't that true? Man, we're hungry now. No messing around. You know, it's not this, oh, you know, God's spending through here. I'm done. And we're in it. Are you coming out tonight? No, I just got to stay home tonight, man. I'm pressing in. Man, I got to get a word from God. See? And it says, and every word that proceeds out of his mouth, and that to know, see that, to know the reality, the truth of God's word, and to put our trust in him. Well, I'll tell you, you don't develop a hunger for God's word anywhere like you do when you're in the wilderness. Man, you're in it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's why God lets you go through the wilderness. We get kind of casual with our relationship with the Lord until the heat's on. Okay, now look in verse 4. Why the wilderness? Look in verse 4. And thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell in 40 years. I want to tell you why God takes you through a wilderness experience. Because you experience God's supernatural supply in the wilderness like no other time or place in your life. It's things they don't happen anywhere else. God supernaturally does things and you know God's doing it. I mean, think they were in the wilderness and what happened? You know, here it tells us, you know, their clothes didn't grow old, you know, their feet didn't swell up. It wasn't only that, but, you know, God gave them water out there where there wasn't any water. God gave them food out there where there wasn't any food. They didn't have any need at all. They wandered around for 40 years. They didn't even work. They didn't. I mean, come on. What do you think they're doing? Working in a McDonald's out there or something, you know? There's nothing. Nowhere. No jobs. You know, God just took care of them. Supernatural provision in the wilderness. That's when we really come to know who God is and begin to trust Him. And He says, God, I don't have anything. I don't know what to do. We start crying to Him. And I give it all to You. I got nothing. I give it to You, God. And then when we really start seeking Him, we get real and we get humble and we start putting our dependence on God. And you know, I'm not saying you become a millionaire in the wilderness. But all of a sudden, you start seeing God starts taking care of you, things just begin to happen, and you start seeing God's faithfulness in the wilderness that you don't see anywhere else. And man, little things they become big things to you. You're grateful for those small things as you watch God do these things and tell you, go, wow. Thank You, Jesus. I mean, man, pillar of fire led them and cloud was over their head, and they, I mean, they came to know God in a supernatural way out there. It doesn't happen except when you're in the wilderness. I know it's true in my life. I look back to wilderness experiences, man. Though I had a closer relationship and experience with God than any other time in my life, when the pressure's been on in my life at different times. That's when things happen. All right? Why? Look in verse 5. It says, and thou shalt also consider in your heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chastens you. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in them, in His ways, and to fear Him. Why don't we tell you why? Because God loves you. That's why He lets you go into the wilderness. Because He just doesn't let you go your way and walk further and further away from Him. But to allow you as a son or as a daughter to be chastened, to deal with you because He loves you. It tells us in Proverbs, in the third chapter, this is what's quoted in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. But he said in verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, even as the Father, the Son, in whom He delights. When you're in the wilderness, God's not mad at you. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. Matter of fact, He's doing this because He delights in you. You know, the people that God really tests are the people that He has something special for. God will never put a test on you bigger than what you can handle. He's not giving you this test to fail. He's giving you this test to pass it, to be exalted, to God who's going to take you through and He's going to lift you up. I just felt in my heart, you mean, man, I mean, this is hot off the press. God put it in my heart this week. Matter of fact, I wrote this down in my Bible, and it was so messy I could hardly read it. And I said, this isn't going to work. So I copied it over, gave it to Chris. You know, he just got it and just did it before we came into the service, just so you could have the notes. I mean, this is fresh, man. I got just saying, this is what I have for the congregation tonight. It's because God loves you. And he tells us in Hebrews, and those that are exercised by it, when God brings chastening, if you'll allow to be exercised by it, not run away from it, not get upset, it's not the time to wave your fist. The one person you can't afford to be mad at is God, because he's the only one that's going to help you. It doesn't make any sense, you know, to be mad at God when he's the one that's got the help for you. So God loves you enough. He loves you. You know, you've heard it said, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you enough, he's not going to leave you that way. And so he's going to take us through a time of wilderness to deal with us. And look, this is really good now. Get hold of this. Look down in verse 15. It says, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought and where there was no water, who brought you forth water out of the rock. How many of you ever felt like you've been in that kind of place in your life before? It's like, man, this is it. There's fiery serpents around me and scorpions, man. I mean, I feel like I'm in a wilderness kind of experience. You ever felt like that? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and the rest of you that didn't raise your hand, you'll be there. I promise you. But look what it says in verse 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at the latter end. Grab hold of that. So why does God have you in the wilderness? Because he's trying to bring you into a place that at the end of this thing, he's going to bring good into your life. That's why. All he's trying to do is bring you into that good place. That's why. So quit resisting him. Humble yourself. Learn what he's trying to teach you. Get into the Word. Start finding out, man. Quit resisting. Humble yourself. God, I need you. Start praying. Start seeking him. Learn. Man, there's experiences in the wilderness you're not going to learn anywhere else. You're going to start seeing things you never saw before. God wants to do it. Now look, I want us to back up again. So God wants to do you good. It said, why? Why the wilderness? Because he wants to bring you then into his abundance. I want to back up to verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, wherein you'll eat bread without scarceness. You'll not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills you'll dig brass. So what's he saying? I'm taking you into a place of abundance in your life. That's why you're in the wilderness. I'm trying to prepare you. I'm trying to get you someplace. Man, I knew God was saying to me, some of you have been going through a thing and you don't understand. You know, I've sown seed and I've given and I don't understand why hasn't it come? Why haven't you seen a harvest? God says, because I've got you in a season, I'm getting you ready so I can really pour something out on your life. And that it's more than just stuff. Because if you just know stuff, you're not going to really know me. I want to prepare you for the stuff that I want to bring on you. Prosperity comes from the inside out. That God's wanting to really bring maturity and character to us and to get us into the place where he can really bless us and that he can trust us with the stuff that he wants to bring into us. Look in verse 10. And when you have eaten and art full, and thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for good land which he have given thee. And then he gives a warning. Beware that you forget not thy God, not keeping his commandments and his judgments, his statutes, which I command you this day, lest when you've eaten and are full and has built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and the silver and the gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, that thine heart be lifted up, and then you forget the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness where were fiery serpents and scorpion drought, and where is no water. See, we forget all about the wilderness when we come out of it. We forget where we came from. We forget what it was like when we were back in Egypt in bondage with sin and in darkness and all that stuff. And amen, we prayed and prayed and we went through this thing, oh God, help me. And we came through the wilderness experience, and then God blesses us, and then pretty soon we forget all about what we learned in the wilderness. And our heart turns away from God, and then we're lifted up with pride again because we covet all this stuff, and it begins to rule our lives again and ends up destroying us. And man, you're not learning, are you? You're going to have to go back in the wilderness again. And then he says, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that they might humble thee, that they might prove thee, to do thee good in the latter day. And then you say in your heart, we read this morning, my power, my might, my hands, they've gotten me this wealth. Now remember the Lord your God, for it is he that's given you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant that he swore to his fathers this day. So God wants to bless you. I mean, I know it. This is the home crowd here. Sunday night people in church. I mean, is it? You know, this is the core. God wants to bless you. God wants to use you because you got a heart to do something for God. You know, you want to learn. You understand. I know you understand exactly what I'm talking about tonight. So instead of, you know, kicking, you know, that we just go with the flow, God, whatever you need to do in my life, here I am, praise God, I yield, I surrender, I'm ready, whatever you want, I just want to be used, I want to be a blessing to the kingdom, so I just thank you, Lord, for whatever you need to do, and I'll rejoice whether I'm up, whether I'm down, whether I'm fruitful, whether I'm in the wilderness, I'm going to give you praise, Lord, that you're worthy of my life, worthy of my obedience. And that, Lord, I would always have a hunger for your word. And remember, Lord, I cannot do anything without you. Nothing. Nothing. I can't do anything without you except that I abide in you. So I just want to close tonight by saying, you know, God wants you to take heart, be strong, endure whatever you're going through, whatever kind of wilderness. I know I'm on track. I know it. Maybe you're in a different kind of wilderness. Maybe you're in the middle of a lawsuit. Maybe you're having a physical thing right now. Maybe, you know, it's family problems. Maybe, you know, you just lost your job. Maybe, you know, you just bounced, you know, 15 checks and you got overdrafts on every one of them. You're going, oh. I don't know what you're going through. How many in the wilderness somewhere? Something's going on. Let me see. See? I mean, is there anybody not in the wilderness? Well, if you're not, it's coming. Unless you just got out, you don't want to go back. So listen to what God's saying tonight. Praise the Lord. You rejoice. You rejoice. I just want to close with a couple psalms again. I want to read to you from the 27th psalm. I love this psalm. I know it's meant a lot to me in times past. I've quoted it, but it's not just a verse to me. It's alive with God. And David said, I had fainted, lest I'd believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Not in heaven, in the land of the living. I'd have fainted. I'd have given up. Except I would have known in my heart, I would believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, I want to remind you some of the stuff that David went through. When he came under judgment for adultery, and when he consented to murder a man, and there was rebellion in his own family, and his own son Absalom led all the people, the whole kingdom turned against David. And he laid it down and walked away from it. Can you imagine? Driven from his throne by his own son and all the people. And his heart was only good. And he ended up having to leave for his life. He said, God, who knows? maybe, you know, this is the time you want me to leave. I trust you. But his heart, see, was, I'd have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He never gave up his hope in the Lord. And it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's God's word to you tonight. Don't you faint. Don't you give up. God wants to bring goodness to you now in this life. He wants to turn it around. You're just going through the wilderness. This is just a season. Quit looking around you and say, oh no, it's going to be the rest of my life. You're just camping. You're moving on. You're not building a house. You know, you're just going to pick up the tent. You're moving on. You're not staying there. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He's going to strengthen your heart. You're going to make it. 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 It says again in the 107th Psalm, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry, thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in the middle of their trouble, and he delivered them out of all their distresses, and he led them forth in the right way. That they went into that city of inheritance. They went into that city of habitation. Then came the land that flowed with milk and honey, and the blessing of God came on their life. It was just a season when they cried out to God, when they got their hearts right with God, when they got real with God. God responded to them. Father, I pray tonight that this word is going to go into hearts. People, Lord, in their wilderness experience and the trial that they're in, that tonight, Lord, you're going to speak this. Lord, whatever they're going through in their wilderness, they're going to learn lessons that they learned there before and lessons they're going to learn there now. It's a special time. They're going to learn things they wouldn't learn any other time. And Lord, you've promised to lead them through. They are going through. And that, Father, it's just a season. And that, Lord, you've taken us there to humble us, to put our dependence on you completely. Lord, to prove us, to test us, to prepare us for advancement. To find out where our heart is. And that we would know it. That, Lord, we would put our trust in you, shine your light, whatever you need to do. That's what we say. Make us hungry for your word now. And God, we know we're going to experience you in ways that we'll never, ever, ever in any other place do you. As we experience supernatural things in our lives and watch your intervention and your provision for us and know how much you love us, Lord. You love us because we're sons and you deal with the sons and daughters, Lord. It's your pleasure in us. And God, you're just doing this to bring us to a place where there's good and there's abundance. And so, Lord, we receive that warning, and we're going to be careful after the victory to just keep our hearts right with you. And I encourage everyone by your Spirit, by your power tonight. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, just before we dismiss, there's just hardly a service that goes by that I don't give an opportunity for people to come to really know him in a personal way. And I'll tell you why. Because I was raised in a church. They never had an altar call. Ever. Ever. Nobody ever told me I could really know Jesus and meet him. I just thought he was a man that was out of the past, a man of history, half myth and legend and whatever. I had no idea. He was alive, real, that I could meet him and know him, that his word was true and alive, and that if I would just stop and invite him to come into my life, he would come in, and that it wasn't religion at all. I just think, you know, even if he was real, you have to really be good. And I knew, man, I was never going to be able to do that. Then I found out he just gives it as a gift, that he paid the price. He was good. It was his goodness. paid the price for all my sins, and which were many. And when I believed his word, just what he said, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm a whosoever. I'm calling on your name. You promised you'd save me. You paid the price for all my sins, which are many. And on the cross you said, it's finished. You paid the debt in full that I could never pay. I said, Lord, forgive me. Send your spirit in my heart. And he did it. And I experienced him. And it wasn't a church thing at all. It was the living God who came into my life. And I found out what it was to be born again. I never understood it. I didn't want to understand it. I didn't want anything to do with it. But God in his grace and mercy and love reached into my life. There's never been a day like it in my life, the greatest day of my life. What could ever be better? Except that when I die to be with him. Took the fear out of death. Took the self-centeredness out of life. There's a purpose, a reason to be alive, that God has a plan for your life. That you're here for a reason, because of the plan that he designed for you. And you can know him and you can meet him. I mean, it's so plain. I guess that's why we overlook it. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say maybe or it might happen. There's no good works involved in it. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of good works, so nobody can brag about it. I've had nothing to brag about. I can't say, well, God, I was the pastor. That doesn't cut anything with God. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's his grace. He did it all. And when we go there, it's not going to be how good we were. It's going to be how good Jesus is and the grace and the gift that he gave us. And you can experience that tonight. You can experience. You can find out if I'm telling you truth or not, if God's word's true. He stands knocking at the door of your heart. He says, if you just believe in your heart and open that door and say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I invite you to come into my life. The moment you get out of the way and get off that throne of your heart, he'll come in. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He promised it. And I'm going to ask tonight, if that's you, and you've never done that, you can go to church. You know, good works are not going to get it. No one is justified by good works, the Bible says. Because there's nobody good. Who's good? You say, well, I'm as good as everybody else. That's the point. Nobody's good. Jesus is the only one that's good. And he gives you his goodness. His righteousness as a gift. And if that's your heart tonight and God's tugging on your heart, I know one thing. Somebody's been praying for you. You wouldn't even be here. Somebody's praying for you. It's God's grace, even though he put it on somebody's heart to pray for you. And that God's been tugging on your heart. And I know enough about God. I've seen this happen for so many years. You know, before he ever got here. I mean, God's been causing things to happen, tugging on your heart, saying, you need me. You need to find out what it's all about. And wherever you are tonight, I want you to lift your hand with an honest heart and you say, Pastor John, will you pray for me? I know. I want to get closer to the Lord. I need him in my life. And I just lift my hand. I need Jesus in my life. Thank you. I see your hand. Yes. How many? Yes, I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. How many more? You just slip your hand up. I saw your hand. Thank you. You put it down. How many more? You say, pray for me. I know I need him in my life. And I'll tell you, don't you wait. You know, you can gamble about a lot of stuff, you know, but you can't afford to miss this one. I know I have eternal life tonight. I've got it, see? I know it. It says, whoever has Christ has life, and these things are written that you may know you have eternal life. I know I got it, see? And I could just say, well, I don't care. I got it. What difference? I don't care if anybody has it or not. No, you can't do that. I don't want anyone. To not know him, to not have eternal life. I don't care whether you don't even like me. You never even come back here again. I don't care. Because when you get on the other side, you're going to jump up and down with me for joy. You say, oh man, it's real, 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 it's real. I remember back, oh man, I didn't even want to receive it. I didn't even believe in God and his grace that night when I just began to open my heart. It was just that crack that God began to pull me by his love. And here I am. See, is there anyone else? You lift your hand right now. Be honest. I know I need him. You slip it up. When I see it, you can put it down. You be honest. The God looks at your heart. It's not your hand. He's looking at your heart. Father, I pray tonight for those that have lifted their hands. They're going to leave this place. They're going to experience you. They're going to come to know you in the name of Jesus. God, we're going to rejoice in the name of Jesus. I want us all to stand to our feet and just stay in an attitude of prayer. And I want to ask every person right now that raised their hand, here's how you get saved. It's not by your good works. Nobody gets saved by good works. God gives it as a gift. But it's when we believe in our heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing with our mouth. It's when we just open up our heart. It's really what we're doing is getting off this throne inside, saying, I give you your rightful place to be the Lord of my life. That's why it says believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus, confessing with your mouth. He says, if you'll confess him before men, he'll confess you before the Father. He says, if you deny him before men, he denies before the Father. I've said this hundreds of times in this church. It's the truth. That when we say, Lord, I need you in my life, I confess, that's what he looks for. It's a change of management. You're saying, I give up, I'm giving you the right to manage my life. You made me, you got the plan, I have no clue where I'm going or how I'm ever going to get to heaven on my own. You're saying, I need you. And I want you, if you raise your hand, to come and stand with me here at this altar. It says, if you confess him before men, he'll confess before the Father. He says, if you deny him before men, he'll deny it before the Father. Wherever you are, if you raise your hand, if you're beside somebody that raised your hand, I want you to just lean over and you say, come on, let's go. I mean, you know, this is it. Wherever you are, they're coming. Who else? You raise your hand tonight. Come on up here.